trying to regulate?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the financial crisis. Since the crisis hit, we have been hearing over and over a three-word solution: more bank regulation. I wonder whether that's easier said or done. Let's find out. The House Financial Services Committee holds a hearing today on new regulations, like rules for how much of a cash cushion banks need to protect against losses. And it turns out there's disagreement. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The federal government dramatically loosened the rules on cash reserves for the biggest investment banks in 2004. Their brokerage units no longer had to link how much they borrowed to their cash reserves. Steve Bartlett is president of the Financial Services Roundtable. He says there are still too many rules, both at the state and federal levels.
We think there ought to be a set of national standards, so it's not state by state.
Bartlett says there should be one federal czar regulating everybody. James Kaufman is a former assistant director of enforcement at the Securities and Exchange Commission. He doesn't like that idea. He says it would give organizations like Bartlett's too much clout.
Trade organization would prefer to have as much power as possible concentrated in Washington, because that is where they have the most and best paid lobbyists.
Today, the committee will try to balance competing arguments like those. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
There is some evidence that banks are beginning to do more of what they're supposed to, lend money, to which stock investors around the world have said, huzzah. The Dow shot up 400 points yesterday to 9,265. That's a 4.5% gain. The Nasdaq gained 3.5%. S&P, same idea, 4.75%. Major European markets are up 1-2% today. Japan's Nikkei gained 3%. Another day, another rescue. France announced it's making billions of euros available to its major banks. As Megan Williams reports, the French government wants the money to go toward credit for businesses and consumers.
France's top six banks will each get a proportional slice of a $14 billion pie. In exchange, they have to start lending to people and businesses. France is in a recession, and its finance minister says growth for the next year likely won't even reach 1%. Banks have so far kept a tight lid on any cash they have. But the government money comes with conditions. The banks will eventually have to pay back the cash after they've met other debts. And French banks also will have to comply to new orders to rein in executive pay. This week, Germany and Sweden did the same. That puts the number of European countries to cap executive compensation at six. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bantam Books, publisher of The Snowball, Warren Buffett and the Business of Life, The Biography of a Man and His Ideas by Alice Schroeder, by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing, constantcontact.com, and by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
We're 2 weeks away from Election Day now, and it's an election law that all presidential candidates must tell you they believe the children are our future. But with a weak economy and huge deficits, what do education advocates expect from the next president? Reporter Steve Henn has the final installment of our election series, Interested Parties.
Washington, D.C. and its deeply troubled public school system have become a living laboratory for half a dozen controversial ideas about education reform. Why here?
The short answer is we're failing.
Jason Camras works for D.C. Public Schools. A couple years ago, he was named National Teacher of the Year. Right now, he's working for the school system's chancellor on a pay-for-performance teacher contract, the likes of which have never been seen.
We're putting an extra $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per year in base and bonuses on the table, and that, I think, does change the picture.
Under the proposed plan, a 20-something teacher could earn six figures in an inner-city public school. But if they fail, they're gone. And Camras is fine with that.
Low-performing teachers should not be making more money.
Many ideas being tried here, like charter schools or paying teachers or even students for performance, have their roots in an entrepreneurial, almost market-driven approach to education. Camorists and other reformers like Greg Cork say there's a place for federal money to encourage experimentation.
Why would you oppose that?
Cork's daughter goes to one of the best public schools in the city.
The stark contrast between what was available to her and what was available to folks in Anacostia, southeast, northeast, elsewhere in the city, troubled me. And I just felt like I wanted to do something about it.
So Cork gave up his career as a corporate lawyer and now runs the only federally funded charter school voucher program in the country. His group uses $12 million federal dollars a year to offer roughly 1,700 low-income D.C. kids scholarships to private schools. He says it's transforming lives.
That fundamental issue of fairness just keeps, I keep coming back to the fundamental issue of fairness.
While Cork and Camorous are taking totally different approaches to education reform, they agree on two things. The only thing that really matters is giving every kid a quality education, and federal cash has a role to play. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
So how do the election and the economy come together in your life? We'd like to hear your thoughts. Go to marketplace.org and click on the link, Interested Parties. And a final note, you might know that eBay bans the sale of guns and digital music on its auction site. Now eBay says no ivory. The International Fund for Animal Welfare says the vast majority of the online trade in endangered animals is done on eBay. To help save the pachyderms, eBay says your ivory heirlooms, your ivory-handled walking sticks, those little figurines carved from tusks, they're no good here. Now, it's true that traders can just avoid putting the words ivory and elephant in their descriptions. It's hard to police, but wildlife advocates say it's a start. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.